the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Hey, good morning. Yes, it's 2017. We made it through New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and yesterday being the official celebration of New Year's Day. I did work, as many people did, but it was essentially a holiday, and the weather was fairly warm outside, so not a bad start to a new year. Now, as a math enthusiast, I find writing 17 as a year a bit odd, 17 being a prime number, only divisible by 1 and itself, whereas 16 was divisible by 1, 2, 4, and 8, and of course 16. So, you math geeks out there, fellow math geeks, I feel your pain. Writing 1-3-17 feels a bit odd, but I think I'll get used to it. It's only part of the fun. New year here at the radio station, and like we pretty much do every time there's a new month or new year, we just get better. Lots of great shows on the agenda. Of course, Scott with his famous celebrity interviews. Did you catch yesterday's show? He spoke to Marty Allen. How about that? I don't know how this man manages to round up these guests, but he has a gift, to put it mildly. He's also promised some more celebrity guests this week, so be sure to listen to his show. It's called Now. It's not on now, but it's on after the noon features, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, here on WWGH, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Of course, visit our website at WWGH1071.com for information on our shows, our show hosts, and of course, you can listen online by clicking on the Listen Now button. And if you do miss a show, that's okay. Just go to our show archives, find the show you'd like to listen to or download, and listen on demand, kind of like what they call a podcast. We are Marion's Talking Place. Hey, join the conversation. So what's this conversation about, being the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Love to promote my fellow show hosts and the station and the website, but here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, our focus is on technology. Was Santa better to you than he was to me? Did you get a new computer or a new smartphone or tablet? Well, if your smartphone is not quite as smart as you were hoping, if your computer is not computing anything other than things you may not understand or maybe confused by or maybe not expecting, maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches, and your printer is printing gibberish but nothing else, and your server is serving you headaches, you've come to the right show. You can email or call me, 740-383-9944, adam@wwgh1071.com. Leave a message on our Facebook page, and in many cases, I can solve your problems right over the air, or questions or comments that you might have about topics I've discussed, stories I've covered, or calls from fellow listeners. Everything from your phone, or smartphone, or cell phone, wireless gadgetry, your home office computer, your car stereo. Do they still call them car stereos? Your car audio device. I have Sirius in my car, and I do enjoy listening. When I'm not listening to this station, I generally have the 70s or 80s station on and love the music. Good stuff. So maybe questions about how to use a Sirius satellite radio, audio device, whatever they might call it. Maybe how to hook up something to Bluetooth that's often used. I have some new headset that I bought, whereas I can hook up that to my phone while I'm at the gym. Don't need to have that cord dangling so I can trip over it like I've done multiple times. And really, they were just a few dollars. Really cool device. So I just turned the Bluetooth on, and I can hear music, hear the station, listen to listen to my show archive. Yes, I do like to listen to my own show. I'm not quite sure why, but I've always kind of enjoyed that since I've been in radio. So I can listen to the audio selection of my choice at the gym or wherever I might be using my Bluetooth headset. So if you have a device like that, you wanted to find out more about how to use it or use it optimally, give me a ring, 740-383-9944, or Adam at WWGH1071.com, or a message on our Facebook page, WWGH107.1. And again, I can, on the air, solve those problems. We also welcome your opinions. I have multiple times discussed how social media has an impact, a major influence on politics and sports and pretty much everything that we do as Homo sapiens. How do you feel about my opinion? Do you agree with me that maybe social media has too much of an impact on politics? Maybe it did affect the election. Who knows? Are professional sports teams and college sports teams using social media too much? Not enough? What do you think about the NFL broadcasting on Twitter? What do you think about people discussing games and making predictions and sometimes bashing players on their Facebook page? Love to hear your opinion, because we discuss those kind of things here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, as technology influences us in many ways. And in 2017, it'll, of course, be doing that even more than it did in 2017. And yes, there will be a change at the White House in 2.5 weeks. We can talk about that, too, as Mr. Trump certainly is a fan of Twitter. And how will that affect the presidency? Love to hear your opinion. Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice-weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Welcome to 2017. So glad to have you with us. A little damp outside, but I tell you, it's fairly warm. So I'm not going to complain one bit. WWGH1071.com. That's the website. And last but not least, one of the best ways to listen on your mobile device is with an app called TuneIn. It's available free from the Google Play Store if you're an Android person like myself. Or if you are a Apple user, iPhone user, go to the app place and search for TuneIn, download it, install it, and search for WWGH 107.1. Click on the little triangle thingy to start listening, and voila, yes, finger snap and all, you will be connected to our station. Be sure to make it a favorite, because as you all know, we are the best. No other way to say it. We're the only station in the Marion area with exclusively local content 24/7. So I was mentioning about social media and its influence on anything and everything. One thing we have brought up more than once would be fake news. It is something that you see on Facebook. Really, the truth. Was it overdramatized, or is it, out of lack of a better term, absolute hogwash? Facebook. Of course, they have lots of money, but they might need to set aside a few dollars. They may face a large fine in Germany if they fail to address a problem with fake news. Legislation slated for consideration later this year would establish fines of up to $500,000 in euros every day for each day that a fake news story persisted after notification of its not being true was provided. Now, this legislation, which has support from all parties, would apply to other sites, but obviously Facebook is the main target. So $500,000 per day. That's a pretty serious fine, but you know what? I would tend to agree with this, because Facebook is a force more powerful than a lot of foreign countries and a lot of companies, and if the stories are not true, if there's no reason to have something on there that people are believing and taking action with respect to, I think they should be fined. course, your opinion is welcome. Adam at WWGH1071.com or our Facebook page. Let me know what you think. Now, Facebook recently began testing and rolling out updates to help fight this fake news problem. Again, Germany has support from all of its political parties regarding a bill that they're looking to pass, fining Facebook or any other site with a persistence, with a penchant of having fake news stories, up to $500,000 in euros every day. Now, Facebook, according to its vice president of news feed, Adam Mosseri, I like his name there. Adam, that's a good name. Anyway, he said Facebook cannot become arbiters of, actually it's arbiters, I'm sorry. Facebook cannot become arbiters of truth, it's ourselves. So we're approaching this problem carefully. Always like that word, arbiter. The reason why I sometimes say arbiter is, I took German in school, I speak it a little bit, and Arbeit is a word in German, but arbiter is the word that I'm referring to in good old English. Anyway, Facebook's VP of news feed, Adam Mosseri, said, Facebook is focusing its efforts on, quote, the worst of the worst, on the clear hoaxes spread by spammers for their own gain, and on engaging both our community and third-party organizations. It is taking a four-pronged approach. So here's what Facebook is doing to fight fake news stories and hopefully not pay a fine of up to $500,000 per day that Germany is going to levy if they don't, let's say, improve this situation. The first thing Facebook is going to do is let users report a hoax on Facebook by clicking the upper right-hand corner of a post. They will flag stories as disputed. Facebook is relying on third-party fact-checking organizations that are signatories of Poynter's International Fact-Checking Code of Principles to make those determinations. Third thing they're doing to fight this serious and increasing problem with fake news stories is informed sharing. That means giving articles that are shared less a lower ranking, because that may indicate they are misleading, and disrupting financial incentives for spammers. Facebook is eliminating the ability to spoof domains, as well as analyzing publisher sites to see where it might need to enforce its policies. Now, Facebook is working with five fact-checking organizations. Some big ones here. The Associated Press, ABC News, FactCheck.org, PolitiFact, and, of course, Snopes. It might be adding more organizations in the future. So ABC News is helping out, and the AP, helping out Facebook do some fact-checking. Very, very impressive. I think they are trying to nip it in the bud here. Mark Coker, CEO of Smashwords, said, it's very important to solve the fake news problem because it's critical to the future of our democracy. He said, if our society continues to make decisions, big and small, based upon or influenced by faulty information, that will take it to a bad place. He said, the issue is probably best viewed on a spectrum. On one end, there are the 100% blatantly false stories. And on the other, there are true stories mixed with fake news, making it more difficult to recognize. Rob Enderle, here's a gentleman we quote often, knows pretty much anything and everything about IT. He's been around a bit, and he's a smart cookie. Anyway, he said fake news, quote, manipulates. How about that? I think I need some more coffee, but we'll take care of that after I discuss this. Anyway, fake news manipulates emotions and positions, which then convert into decisions that people make in their lives that are not in their own best interest. This really should be considered a crime for the damage it can do. Charles King, someone else we quote often, he is a principal analyst at Pund IT. also known as Pundit. He said, Facebook's concern is driven by self-interest. Fake news stories show how the company is being actively gamed, which damages its brand. So people are playing games with Facebook. As smart as they are, they need to sharpen up a bit. He said, by serving as a repository for news stories, Facebook has, quote, become a de facto media company, despite its insistence to the contrary. Now, Scott Spears, our program manager, and I have discussed that a few times, both in person and on the air. Is Facebook a news agency, a media company? And Scott feels, and I agree, they don't have bureaus, they don't really have reporters, like Scott and Terry and our program person, Brett Cornelius, who's a minister, but he helps out with some of the programming. They were up at Cleveland at the Republican National Convention last year, as you probably know, broadcasting and talking to important people. Scott had his photo taken with Rod Stewart, so tell you, more celebrity moments there. But we are a news agency. We have reporters. Scott's been a reporter. Scott's a fairly young man. I mean, he's much younger than I am, but he's been a reporter in the Marion area for a good 15 years. And so we are a news agency, and we do report stories. We discuss stories reported by other agencies, and we have our own reporting on the spot via the phone, via Skype, and other internet-related methods. We provide our opinions gleaned from our observations and our reporting. Facebook doesn't have reporters, people like Scott, but Facebook users, myself included, share stories that are on Facebook with their own opinions. And some of these stories may not be true. And so is Facebook a news agency? Well, not in the way that we are, or another radio station that has a news department, but I feel that they are. And here in 2017, sharing information, disseminating what people have to say over the internet, that's part of the news equation. Anyway, fake news has been blamed for affecting the results of the most recent presidential election, as we've discussed several times. But Charles King said the mainstream media's willingness to continually chase Trump's tweets and what turned out to be a bogus or frivolous story, like the Clinton email investigation, probably had a larger impact. Rob Enderle, we quoted him earlier, again, expert in IT, said Facebook's program is unlikely to succeed on its own because at the heart of the problem is that you can make a lot of money from Google with fake news. Ah, the almighty dollar. The fix really needs to start with Google's ad funding model, as they're the cause of much of the problem, even though they aren't the source of the fake news. Macedonia, where there's massive unemployment, is making huge amounts of money just producing fake news. Then there's the question of how close Facebook's program might come to censorship. It will be very hard to differentiate between fake news and something that someone just doesn't agree with, according again to expert Rob Enderle. There was a survey conducted last month of 1,600 adults. It was conducted by Morning Consult. Opinion about this matter, as you may expect, is divided. Again, Germany is looking to pass legislation supported by multiple parties and a large number of their legislative people to fine Facebook or other websites or media outlets, so to speak, up to $500,000 in euros per day for fake news stories. So anyway, this opinion that was conducted by Morning Consult, poll of 1,600 adults. Check this out. 67% of respondents thought search engines were responsible for preventing exposure to fake news. 66% thought the reader was responsible. 63% say social media sites should bear the responsibility. And 56%, that's over half of 1,600 people that were polled, thought the government should be responsible for fake news. And finding out exactly whether something is fake or not, and taking the appropriate action. 1/4 of respondents said the reader should bear the most responsibility for discriminating between fake and real stories. So, interesting poll result, and some perspectives from experts that we like to pass along here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on Marian's Talking Place, WWGH. Let's go about 1 hour south on Route 23 to the capital city of Columbus for this story. There's a company called Sidewalk Labs. It is a sister company of Google, and they recently began negotiating a plan to help restructure the public transportation system in Columbus after Columbus won the Obama administration's national competition to ease traffic gridlock. Sidewalk Labs will leverage its cloud-based transportation data to help Columbus implement a public bus and parking system that will help ease traffic congestion and provide greater access for low-income communities. The plan calls for eventually incorporating ride-sharing and cycling, as well as the possible deployment of autonomous vehicles. Yes, we seem to cover the self-driving cars at least a couple times a show. The project leverages something called Flow, which is a collaborative... Oh, no, not Flow from Progressive Insurance. No. Flow, that's F-L-O-W. Thank goodness no annoying commercial pitch people on this story. Anyway, Flow, wanted to clarify that. F-L-O-W, a collaborative effort of Sidewalk Labs and 7 finalists in the Department of Transportation's Smart City Challenge. Anand Babu, the chief operating officer of Sidewalk Labs, said, Flow is about using data and analytics to help cities work with their citizens to increase the efficiency of road parking and transit use and improving access to mobility for all. He said Flow will allow cities to understand their transportation systems in real time and could be used to improve and plan public transportation, as well as guide drivers directly to parking or point commuters to shared mobility options that they can use when public transportation is not available. Columbus is putting together a team to begin implementing the Smart City Plan, according to Robin Davis, a spokesperson for Columbus. However, a final plan has not been reached, and the platform has not yet been put together, according to a anonymous source familiar with these discussions. Anthony Fox, he is the United States Department of Transportation Secretary. He has announced that Columbus had beat out 78 cities to win the Smart City Challenge. See, we have smart cars and smart phones and smart homes, and now we have smart cities, including one very close to Marion. Now, this winning proposal calls for Columbus to create a new rapid transit system for buses, as well as install street-side mobility kiosks and smart lighting to help pedestrian safety, and also improve access to health care for underserved neighborhoods. Joshua Lapp, vice chair of Transit Columbus, he said, we see the Smart City Challenge grant as a whole, and Sidewalk Labs in particular, as a great opportunity to integrate the technology into our transportation system, as well as encourage multimodal transportation by shifting away from traditional single-occupant vehicles. Columbus is a fast-growing mid-sized city without much of type of transit infrastructure that you see in a larger, older city. In many ways, we as a city are playing catch-up with transit while preparing to accommodate the estimated 1 million additional people that will be added to the city by the year 2050. And that's from Joshua Lapp, not to be confused with my last name, Lepp. It's L-A-P-P. and he is a vice chair of Transit Columbus. So looking ahead to the future with this smart city plan. In order to do that, we need an efficient, technologically enhanced system that maximizes opportunities for residents and protects our environment. We believe that the partnership with Sidewalk Labs, again, an affiliate essentially of Google, or Alphabet being the umbrella company that includes Google and some other adventures. Anyway, Joshua Lapp, again, he is part of this project. He said, we believe that the partnership with Sidewalk Labs and others will provide these benefits while enhancing our public transportation and moving our city away from traditional single-occupant commuting. The city will install traffic signals that communicate in real time based on the flow, rhythm, and demand for street traffic, and Columbus will measure the connectivity of its transportation systems against the city's infant mortality rate. Infant mortality has a great deal to do with neighborhood health. For example, in the northeast side of Columbus, in the Linden neighborhood, infant mortality is three times higher than other parts of Columbus. In fact, one out of four residents of the Linden neighborhood don't have a high school degree or GED. Unemployment is three times as high as the rest of Franklin County, and resident vacancies and incarceration are significantly higher also. A spokesperson said, we know that reliable, consistent transportation is a key to exiting poverty because it provides access to health care, employment, education, and fresh fruits and vegetables, which are also keys to lowering infant mortality. So what we have planned for the Linden neighborhood will help reduce infant mortality. Now, this Columbus Smart City Plan calls for deploying autonomous vehicles, starting with the Linden neighborhood, as part of the first and last mile solutions. Residents will be able to get public transportation, then use autonomous vehicles to go from, for example, the Easton area, where there's a lot of shopping and other events. They can take the Easton Transit Station to their jobs, to a healthcare appointment, or to an educational institution that they're attending. Now, Columbus will receive up to $40 million from the Department of Transportation and $10 million from Paul Allen's Vulcan. And Paul Allen, again, one of the founding people over at Microsoft. Anyway, this grant will supplement the $90 million that Columbus has already raised from private partners to put this smart city plan in place. The commitment by Columbus to explore new ways to use technology to reach beyond the tech-savvy and easily accessible is commendable, and it underscores the reasons why we started this campaign. And that comes from the Department of Transportation Secretary, Mr. Fox. He said the Transportation Department is working with government and private sector partners to help six other finalists, which include Austin, Texas, Denver, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Portland, and San Francisco, to advance plans that they submitted several months ago when the finalist challenge was started. Department of Transportation spokesperson John Romano said the U.S. population is expected to grow by about 70 million people over the next three decades, and much of that growth will be in urban areas across the country. The hope is that a successful plan in a city like Columbus can be scalable to medium-sized cities that face pressures on their own infrastructures and need to come up with local solutions. Paul White, executive director at Transportation Alternatives, said, there is a total data void on street use, as well as public transit and parking management. He said, we know city streets are not really working for anyone, but there is a lack of up-to-date information about parking turnover rates or on-time bus performance statistics. Stephen Polzin from University of South Florida's Center for Urban Transportation Research said, cities all over the United States are under pressure to upgrade their public transit systems as crumbling infrastructure and increasing traffic flows threaten to overwhelm major metropolitan areas. As a result, cities are taking steps like automating fare collection, developing more sophisticated scheduling data, and gathering real-time passenger information to make sure they can match capacity to demand. Virtually all agencies across government are implementing some or all of these features as quickly as they can. What remains to be seen is the magnitude of the impact and whether they will be able to shift the needle in any meaningful way. So technology with a hand in making city infrastructure, especially in some underserved neighborhoods. Again, we're discussing the Linden area in Columbus, using technology to make cities smart. How about that? And happening right in our backyard. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. News and views from the world of technology. What else do we do here? We talk about smartphones, and we just talked about smart cities. Very cool thing going on about an hour to our south. Sometimes we talk about phones that aren't quite so smart, monitors that aren't monitoring, or printers that really aren't printing anything you were asking them to other than gibberish. So many angles from the world of computers and technology here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Do you have a suggested topic, or would you like to be a guest commentator? We can talk right here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall or over the phone or Skype. Many ways to do it. Love to have you as part of the show. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Send me an email. I would love to hear from you. And be sure to listen to our station 24/7 on demand on your smartphone, your laptop, desktop, or office, or home computer. Doesn't really matter what kind you have, as long as it is internet access and a web browser. Go to WWGH1071.com. Click the little triangle thingy to listen. And instantly, we are on the air on your favorite computer. If you have an Android or Apple phone, you can also download TuneIn, a free app to listen. Just search for WWGH and voila, you can listen at your leisure. WWGH1071.com, Marion's Talking Place, online 24/7. Or listen the old-fashioned way on your FM radio in the Marion area at 107.1 FM. Adam Lepp here, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
Adam Lepp!
You might not realize it, but you may be sending out rude emails. How about using more than one exclamation point? How about using the word need? Or are you being too demanding? Or using the word actually too many times? Well, a company called Outsource Philippines, a provider of global outsource solutions, is circulating an infographic titled, These 10 Words Make You Sound Rude in Emails. Now, it does exactly what you'd expect. It tells you which words to skip if you'd rather avoid coming across as a rude user of emails. Communicating with clients and colleagues through the email does not mean you shouldn't be careful with your word choice, according to this company. There are certain terms or words that are best said in person, as you can easily identify the meaning behind it by the speaker's facial expression and tone. Now, some of the tips make sense, particularly in the customer service business. Of course, we all like an email from a customer service department to be polite and, of course, also be helpful. For example, as the infographic suggests, the word fine can convey a couple of different messages, such as that works and sure, be that way. And swearing probably will not win you any new customers. In fact, if somebody wrote a swear word in an email, a person is likely to reply back with several exclamation points, emphasizing the use of that word.
So again, we want to watch what we say in an email. And this company, again, called Outsource Philippines, has analyzed email verbiage. And I think we've all gotten emails that were less than polite and, of course, less than helpful. Now, some of Outsource Philippines' suggestions may come across as far too broad, even with respect to dealing with customers. For example, the word important can help underscore a point without rudely insinuating that readers aren't smart enough to know important emails when they see them. And the words me and I do not always make the writer sound selfish. Now, if you do a Google for rude emails, you will come across plenty of tips on how to keep your emails on the right side of rude. Many recurring points are common sense and worth keeping in mind, regardless of the recipient. Be professional and respectful. Don't try to be too depressing or too downbeat. And of course, if you do have to criticize somebody, try to also be supportive. And if you aren't quite sure what to say, take a deep breath, get a cup of coffee, take a time out before you hit the send key. And of course, try not to apply to everybody unless there's a good reason to. So certainly tips to keep emails polite and helpful. I think we could all use that lesson. And, you know, I'm guilty myself sometimes of saying things in an email that I wouldn't say during a phone call or in a face-to-face interaction. So, you have any stories about getting a rude email, or maybe you've accidentally sent an email that you regret? Hey, send me an email. Yeah. Doesn't have to be a polite email. Just a helpful email. Hopefully that isn't too confusing. Adam at WWGH1079.com. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Helpful tips, news and views, and an occasional wisecrack just to keep things fun. Visit my website to find out more about me. AdamTheComputerGuy.com. Well, speaking of gadgets, the New York Times recently published a story about the death of the gadget. Well, what do you think about that? Just talking about how gadgets are increasing. But now the New York Times is saying there is the death of the gadget. How could that be? For years, companies have been churning out gadget after gadget to meet specific needs from everything from GPS navigation to health tracking. But the tide has finally turned. Gadget sales are down. Companies are going out of business. People are no longer looking to have a house full of gadgets, and one major reason is that smartphones can now replace almost all of them. In a way, that's great. No more superfluous gadgets being made that ultimately end up as electronic waste. But it also means that we use our phones for far more tasks than ever, and that means we spend more time charging our phones. Many people find they need to carry a backup battery, even on typical days. I've gotten used to my brick. I guess that's kind of what they call it. The little device looks like a small brick. You keep it charged, and when all the four lights are on. Actually, I have two of them. Just hook it up to your smartphone or tablet, and it'll charge it rapidly. And you're not tied to a electrical outlet. So I'm guilty of that as much as anybody. But what if we could accomplish all of our tasks, read news, send messages, take photos, and more, all while those very actions powered our phone? Now, that's the idea behind a new technology from Michigan State University that could soon bring us phones powered by finger swipes. That sounds like a great idea. Also very green or environmentally friendly. The researchers created a film-like nanogenerator device that can be folded to generate even more power. When touched, swiped, or pressed, the film produces electricity. These researchers were able to successfully power an LCD touchscreen, a bank of 20 LED lights, and a flexible keyboard with the device and without the use of a battery. Nelson Sepulveda, associate professor of electrical and computer engineering and lead investigator of this project at Michigan State, said we're on the path toward wearable devices powered by human motion. What I foresee relatively soon is the capability of not having to charge your cell phone for an entire week. Imagine that. I can't go half a day without charging my phone because the energy will be produced by your movement. I'm definitely for that idea. Now, this device, called a biocompatible ferroelectret nanogenerator, well, that's pretty deep, and a FENG, F-E-N-G, consists of a silicon wafer layered with thin sheets of silver, polyamide, and polypropylene ferroelectret, all environmentally friendly materials. Now, as someone who majored in chemistry, I like those words, and I can pronounce them really well. So I've not forgotten my chemical pronunciation skills. Ions are, just an aside there for you, ions are added to each layer so that they contain charged particles. When the device is compressed, voila, electricity is generated. The device has the thickness of a sheet of paper and is flexible enough to be folded. In fact, folding it exponentially increases the amount of voltage that it creates. The device that powered the LCD screen was folded to the size of a finger. Beyond finger-powered smartphones, these researchers at Michigan State are also looking at developing a similar technology that could be put into the heel of a shoe and produce power from walking. That power could then be wirelessly sent to charge Bluetooth wearables like headphones. Some very smart and environmentally friendly people at the University of at Michigan State, up north. Where it's cold and snowy, but their brains are definitely on overdrive. Interesting stuff we learn about here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Good morning. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Ever question in my server serving me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time because you cannot get online? Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
And thanks again to Mr. Paul Savage for performing that fine tune via the power of his dulcetones and his keyboards. The Adam the Computer Guy theme song. Be sure to listen to Paul and his fine wife, Galena, every Sunday between about 5:10 p.m. and 6 for Heaven Express here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Well, as I say, we have good news and bad news. The bad news, assuming you're an Adam the Computer Guy fan, and I certainly hope you are, or at least you can tolerate the show while you drink the coffee and start your daily activities. My show's ending in about 5 minutes or so. Then we have news and features, weather, with, of course, our program manager, Scott. Did I say course? Gosh, my mouth needs to work better today, but, you know, it's the beginning of the year. And maybe it's a little tired from all of the shenanigans that have been going on back in 2016. Anyway, we'll address that maybe in a future show. Anyway, Scott will have our news and weather at the top of the hour, along with messages from our sponsors and underwriters and supporters. And, of course, teasers of shows past, present, and future, like we do every hour here on WWGH. And then, drum roll, please. It is Marion 2020. It's not a show about eyewear or optometry. It's a show about Marion, community activism, fighting the drug problem, other important events affecting Marion and Mid-Ohio. And your host is Mr. Edward Thomas McCants, or we just call him Ed. He's a community activist. very sharp guy with great opinions, great insight, and a former basketball star. In fact, he's still involved in organizing basketball games in the community. An important community member, Ed McCants, he'll be on shortly after the 10 a.m. features, like he is every Tuesday morning on WWGH. Coming up after the noon features, it's Scott Spears with Now. Of course, he'll have interesting guests like he always seems to be doing. He has some more celebrity guests, in fact, planned for this week. Even I don't know who those guests are. He's keeping it a secret. So I'm sure it's somebody big, famous, powerful, and important. So bottom line is, don't miss Scott Spears with Now. And it's not on Now. It's on between about 10 minutes after noon and 2 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Adam Lepp here, thanking you again for listening. Much appreciated. I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday between about 9, 10 a.m. and 10, taking your telephone calls, Facebook messages, and emails about topics in the technology realm. Everything from self-driving cars, or what we call autonomous vehicles, robotics, medical technology, the effect of social media on politics and sports and other fields, discussing the latest and greatest in smartphones, not-so-smartphones, laptops, desktops, tablets, etc. And also, my opinions and wisecracks are often part of the mix. I will talk to you again Thursday, right after the 9 a.m. features. And on Thursday, most of the time, I broadcast my show live on Facebook video. You can actually watch me perform the show. How about that? I appreciate my friends who watch and listen regularly. Hey, become part of that growing team of listeners and watchers. If you're not already a fan of mine, or a friend of mine, I think I have more friends than I have fans. In fact, a lot more anyway. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Let me know you're a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Request my virtual friendship, and I'll be happy to accept it. I'm a pretty friendly guy. And you can watch me on Facebook video, too, coming up on Thursday. Adam Lepp again. Thank you again for listening. Please don't text and drive. And, of course, don't ever drink and drive. It's just plain stupid. No other way to say it. Thanking you again for listening, inviting you to listen throughout 2017 to WWGH for all kinds of exciting, fun, interesting, and educational things to come. AdamTheComputerGuy.com. See you later, alligator. What she told me nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. Wait a minute, baby.